God's plan is to finance the New Testament church. His plan is the same plan to finance the New Testament church that he used to finance the Old Testament church, the Old Testament temple, tithes and offerings. Now, this is the third message because I need to answer more questions. If you don't like studying the Word of God, you're probably not going to like this church. But if you stay here a while and hear the Word of God, you'll start liking the Word of God. Because it's good and it's very interesting. It's more exciting to me than anything on television. They've never had a program that equals David and Goliath. Can you say amen? That's one of the greatest stories ever told. So as we have seen, tithing is in the New Testament. I was taught years ago, well, you don't have to tithe. It's not in the New Testament. Those people had never read the New Testament, evidently. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? There you have it right there. Paul says, those who work in the temple, work in the church, work in the ministry, get their food from the temple. And those who serve at the altar, sharing what is offered on the altar. You see, the ministers in the temple receive their income from tithes and offerings. And verse 14 says, in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. What's the same way? Tithes and offerings. Now, if you don't want to be blessed, it's no skin off my nose. Because I'm going to keep tithing no matter what you believe. I've tithed on every dime I've ever received my whole life, as far as I know. Because my mother, for some reason, even though she wasn't in church at the time, she was still, she taught me to tithe on every dime. And she's 100 years old and probably watching me right now, so I got to be careful what I say. She's still a disciplinarian at 101. You don't say the wrong thing around her. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel, tithes and offerings. You see, I did not notice this for years, but Paul says the Lord has commanded it. That's what he says. Well, there's no record in the Gospels where he actually said it. This is not recorded in the Gospels, but that Jesus actually commanded this, but Paul said he did. And I read your scripture last week that said if everything was written that he did, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. The world wouldn't be big enough to contain all the books. And, of course, what if we had all of his sermons? Then we'd have a lot more information, wouldn't we? So here's a quote from Jesus that is in the gospel. So, I mean, you can't defeat me. I'll go get me a quote. Okay, so here goes. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees. This was last week, but this is a little review. And we've got to build on this. So we'll start with it, and it won't hurt you. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the other. Right there he says, do not neglect tithing. Where in the world have we been? Well, it's not in the New Testament. I read it to you two or three times already. Jesus said you should have kept justice, mercy. Now, if you're totally convinced of something and you don't want to change your mind, then nothing I say is going to change your mind. Nothing I read from the Bible is going to change your mind. Unless you just open your spirit up to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know the truth. I don't want the devil lying to me. I want you to open my heart and help me to see the truth with my own eyes. If you'll do that, the Lord will open your eyes and you can see. Because the Bible says the devil has blinders on people's eyes. And he's got blinders on sinners' eyes, keeping them from salvation. He's got blinders on Christians' eyes, keeping them from blessing and prosperity and healing and the miracle power of God, because he's got blinders on. And everybody has problems, but if we truly obey God, he has promised never leave us, to forsake us, go with us in the age. He promised to give his angels over me, to watch over me, and to keep me, and to even bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. This is a good message. The word of God is nothing but good and wonderful. It promises one blessing after the other, but you don't get them if you don't obey him. Amen. And you can't obey me. You can't do it because preacher said to do it. You got to do it because you know it's in the Word of God, and because you know that God says to do it. Amen. Amen. Jesus places his approval on tithing, and And according to Paul, he commanded that we tithe. Let's look at this again. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you tithe mint and dill income. And that means on every herb they grew, they gave one out of every ten to God's work. He says, you're so careful to tithe, but you've neglected the other things. You have hate in your heart and racism and everything else going on. You need to get all that taken care of, but do not neglect the tithing. Amen. I'm even getting a few amens today. Whoa! That's so unusual. But then he said, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You see, God used tithes and offerings to finance the work before the Old Testament law. I've heard people say my whole life, well, the tithing came with the Old Testament law. We don't have to do it. Don't have to keep it. Now, that's not true. It did not come with the Old Testament law. Here it is. Genesis 14, verse 19. And he, Melchizedek, blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. God gave a tithe 10% to this priest long before Moses was born, about 500 years before. Abraham tithed to God's priest about 500 years before the law. God had priests before the law. And remember, Moses married the daughter of a priest. And he must have been from God because he gave Moses good godly advice. Jethro. Remember Jethro? And he gave him tithe of all. Remember this because I'm going to come back to it in just a second. Abraham tithed to God's priest about 500 years before the law. Tithing came before the law. So you can't really believe something until you know it's in the Bible. That's why you need a preacher that preaches the Bible. And then you can decide if you misinterpreted or whatever you want to decide, but you need to hear it for yourself. Amen. Most preachers get up and say, tithe, are you going to go to hell? Or something like that. And have me appreciate me taking the time to show you why we believe in tithing and give it. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, verse 21, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, verse 22. And of all that thou shalt give me, I shall surely give thee the tenth unto thee. Amen. Tithing was way before Moses was ever born. Who gave the law? Moses gave the law. God gave the law through Moses. See, Jacob is pledging to tithe to God about 400 years before the law was given. This is God's plan. God has always used tithes and offerings to finance his ministry. And he still does. As I've said several times now, if that's not God's plan, we need to come up with God's plan pretty quickly to be able to pay these bills, pay these salaries and everything. If you got a better plan, we'll entertain it. We could charge everybody $500 to come through the door. Would that be better? Well, how about $450? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Where's Hebrews? Are you sure it's in the New Testament? Are you sure? Okay, let's see what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. This Melchizedek, now this is back to the verse I just read in Genesis 14, 19. This Melchizedek, see this New Testament writer is quoting Genesis. This New Testament, at least referring to it, this Melchizedek was king of Salem, and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning, so that verifies he was really God's priest. And this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. Verse 2, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything, just like what I read there in Genesis 14, 19, verse 4, just think how great he was, what a great priest he was, because even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. So he considered him to be the priest of God, and he knew he was supposed to tithe to the man of God, so he gave him a tenth. Amen. Now, how do we know that Abraham recognized Melchizedek as a minister of God? He tithed to him. Abraham felt obligated to tithe. Y'all pray I'll be able to talk. Okay. I know I've got a lot of scriptures here, so I'm trying to go too fast. Slow down, Pastor. Slow down. Get it down in Grandma Low. Let me know what that is. We had these big old 2-ton trucks on the farm, ton and a half, whatever. And if you pulled a big load, had it loaded heavy, you had to put it down what we call in Grandma. It would just crawl, but it could crawl with a lot of weight. Can you say amen? So I'm carrying a lot of weight. I just need to crawl a little slow. Can you say amen? Verse 5, now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people. So before Levi, people gave to the priest. When the law was written, they put it in the law. But it didn't come with the law. It went into the law after it had been in practice forever, as far as I can tell, since man was created. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people. Before the law, God's priest Melchizedek, who was not a Levite, received the tithe. This is the point he's making. The tithe, he received a tithe and he was not a Levite because he was before the law. Now Jesus is after the law. Amen. It says plainly in two places in the New Testament, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. So the law and the prophets were until John, but now Jesus Christ is not of the house of Levi. He's of the house of Judah, but he is the eternal priest now. Yes. And this says he's a priest just like Melchizedek, after the type of Melchizedek. Therefore you tithe to him even though he's not of the house of Levi, because we're no longer under the house of Levi. But at the same time, the New Testament is written for example, and the New Testament example is that Levites are full-time ministers. Today we have full-time ministers. We don't call them Levites. Many cases we call them goofballs. And some of us fit that description. But at the same time, God has full-time ministers today, and how's he supposed to take care of them? See, after the law, now this is very important. Well, he lays it out. You just have to read a few times to really get it. After the law was given, God required that the priest receive a tithe. Verse 6, the author of Hebrews goes on, this man, Melchizedek, is who he's talking to. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. He lived before Levi. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. So he's qualifying this guy as a real priest. You see, God had priests, ministers before and after the old covenant that these priests received the tithe before and after the old covenant. Before and during the old covenant, and now after the old covenant. Now under the new covenant, verse 8, in the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by Jesus, who is declared to be living. In other words, all the priests, including Melchizedek, and all the Levite priests are now dead. And so our priest now is Jesus Christ. He's alive and well, and he's saying, if you tithe to people who died, shouldn't you tithe to the guy who's alive forever? You know, if you can't see that, it's okay, but I have to lay it out. Yay. I don't go around checking up on people. I don't care to stick around and hit people over the head to disagree with me. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad you don't take a stick around and hit people over the head to disagree with you. Verse 8, In the one case, listen, in the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. But in the other case, people say, well, this is not the New Testament. This has been in the New Testament ever since I've been around. And back to the beginning. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him, by Jesus, who, and it says collected, tithes, by Jesus, who is declared to be living. All priests before Jesus were human who died, but we now have an eternal living high priest who collects the tithe. And we give it to his ministry, but it's really giving it to him. Actually, Melchizedek was really Abraham was really giving it to him because Melchizedek was representing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? So actually, Abraham was given to Jesus too. We didn't know him as Jesus, but he was still part of the Godhead. It was given to God. When we tithe, we are tithing to Jesus Christ and his ministry. Verse 17, for it is declared, you, Jesus, are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And that's in Psalm 110, verse 4. So you see, Jesus is God's high priest under the new covenant, even though he is not of the tribe of Levi. So Melchizedek is a type of the living priest who collects the tithe. Now, Jesus is the real living priest, and we're tithing to him and to his ministry, to his work. Under the new covenant, Jesus received the tithe for his ministry. When we tithe, we are literally tithing to Jesus Christ and his ministry. Hebrews, as I've already pointed out, is not in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. The one getting to tithe today is literally Jesus Christ. It's his money. Now, tithes and offerings were often received separately in both the Old and New Testament. And there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and so I'm giving it my best with God's help to answer the questions. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 9. Then Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest. Now listen to this. He bored a hole in its lid and set it beside the altar. This wasn't a tithe. I've already shown you very clearly. And if you missed the other sermons, go get them, because it really teaches you the truth about where the storehouses are. And the storehouses were in the temple, and the tithe went there. This was not the tithe. This was money they contributed. And let me just read it. Then Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest, bored a hole in it, and set it beside the altar. And the priest who kept the door put there all the money brought into the house of the Lord. So when people come into the temple, they not tomatoes and tithe stuff, but money. And they would give it to the upkeep of the temple. That's today called the building fund. So, where's Harry? I need you to build a big chest, set it back there at the door, put a hole on the top of it. Don't do that. We have a building fund. We'll just keep that. How's that? And the priest who kept the door put all the money brought into the house of the Lord. Verse 11, listen, here it is. Then they gave the money into the hands of those who did the work, and they paid it out to the carpenters and builders who worked on the house of the Lord. That's what we've been doing, in a sense, is taking the special offering to fix these speakers and cameras. This is the Bible plan. And if you get offended when we take a special offering, then you're getting offended by the very thing you need to do to bless yourself. Me and the board members and a lot of the rest of you, we get excited about these fundraisers because we know we're going to get our socks blessed off. And frankly, we're some of the biggest givers when it comes to these things of anybody, because we believe in it. And we're all blessed too. Some of us are even good looking. We won't decide which ones. And don't say I used to be good looking, okay? Verse 12, and for all that was paid out to repair the temple. So they had a special ongoing gift to the building. You see, this is different from offerings. This is a building fund that went to the upkeep of God's house. How many knew they had that chest sitting at the altar? Yay. And then 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 20, of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated gifts. These were just dedicated gifts that people, God would lay it on their heart and they would just give it to the upkeep of the temple or whatever. Verse 27, from spoil won in battle, they dedicated gifts to maintain the house of God. They gave special gifts just to take care of the house of God. They did not use the tithe. I'll stand at the door when we dismiss and you pat me on the back. How's that? I'm kidding. From the spoil won in battle, they dedicated gifts to maintain the house of God. See, there were dedicated gifts given just for the upkeep of the house of God. And if you're going to be a part of this ministry, you need to know why we do what we do. And we do it because the Bible says to do it. You see, the widow that Jesus complimented was given to this very treasury. That's what she was given to. She wasn't bringing in a harvest to give as a tithe. She was given to the house of God. Look, Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And he looked up. Have you ever wondered what she was given to? And she looked up and saw, and he, Jesus, looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts, not tithes, gifts, into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins called mites. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all put out of their surplus, put into the offering. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. And so she gave a tiny bit, but he said it's more than all the rich people. And some of you that gave these speakers, compared to what me and some others gave, it might be tiny. But before God, it's more than all of us. Because you were given out of your necessity, and we were given out of surplus. But we have the surplus because we keep giving. We have the surplus because we keep giving. And if and when we do another, we still got things to fix up around here. We do another fundraiser, God will replenish me and Dottie, and we'll be able to give plenty then too. I don't just guess that. I just don't believe that. I know it in my knower, as they say. So this was not their first fruit. This was not tithe. This was dedicated gifts from their surplus. The widow lady wasn't giving a tithe. She was giving everything she had above that. Why did Jesus let her do it? Why do you preachers take people's lifestyle? Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't. If I know it, I could try to give it back. But the Lord let her give because he knew God would bless her. Because he knew the Father would bless her for giving to God's house. If you take care of God's house, he'll help take care of your house. Let me read that one. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. I'm probably reading scriptures some of you never heard before. If you've been coming to church here very long, you've probably heard them. But if you have heard them, you need to hear them again. And again and again until you know it. The Bible says we're to give a reason to people who are asked for our faith. If you believe in tithing, you need to be able to tell people why. Amen. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You are never satisfied is what he's saying. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. God says, think about what you're doing. You're working harder and producing less. And when you do earn money, it is like your pockets have holes and your money is quickly gone. Now, to be sure that doesn't happen, we need to obey God with the money we have. Amen. Well, it's my money. No, it's not your money. You're just a steward. That's God's money. Amen. If you don't believe it, just drop dead. Your money will go to your wife's next husband. It wasn't your money. Thank you. That's why I try to live as long as I can. I don't want my money going to God's second husband. I don't want my house going to him either. Well, I guess her house can go to him, but I don't want her getting my house. If you don't get that, see me after church. But isn't this interesting? You may say, I don't believe it. Well, that's okay. It's still interesting. Verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, my house. What had happened to the house? It had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, by the Babylonians. It's been destroyed and never been rebuilt after all those years. It says, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, is what he means, the house of God, so that I may have pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Well, we shouldn't have these fancy, beautiful buildings. He says, fix up my house nice so I'll be honored. Amen. I want him to be honored with this building, don't you? I don't want to waste money on it. I don't think we need to have gold domes or something. But at the same time, we need to honor him with a nice, clean house that has air conditioning and good speakers and good sound system. Thank you, Jesus. God says, build my house and do my work first. When we give to the house, his house and his work first, he will take care of our house and our work. And I'm living proof of that. Dottie never complained one time about the house. Of course, it wasn't just a shack. It's a pretty nice house. It didn't have any special, anything special about it. It's just as plain a plain Jane as you can possibly get. But she never complained one time about anything. And we were happy there. The roof didn't leak much. And we were happy. We never one time even thought about buying another house. And a lot of preachers around here bragging about living in Fox Den, and I'm going around bragging that I don't. I'm humble. I don't live if I did. Be careful what you brag about. So anyway, we put everything we got back in this church, in the Vacation Bible School, concerts. I mean, we're giving, all the things. And not bragging even now. That's just where our heart was. What I'm trying to tell you is this works. Amen. And then one day I got a phone call, and this guy says, God told me to give you my house. And it's in Fox Den. There's a lot of addresses out there that's not Fox Den, but God had put me on a street that says Fox Den. I went to buy some tires, and the guy said, give me your address. And I said, I was embarrassed to say Fox Den. And all you people live in Fox Den, I'm sorry. But I'm just a country boy, and I kind of like it that way. And so, they're not too thrilled, but they now have Jed Clampett in Fox Den. And you say, God gave you the house? I don't mean he gave me a good deal on it. I mean he gave it. Yeah. Amen. Put God's house first, and he'll take care of you. But you don't sit back and where's my house? your heart is just give and bless God, and then he blesses you. Amen. And very often it just be a surprise. Amen. Am I telling them right, Milton? Am I telling them right, Michael? These are businessmen who put these principles and many of, others of you are too, Shane, a bunch of you. You put these principles into your work life, and it produces just like it does here. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But you got to put God first, obey Him. And it can't be a get-rich-quick scheme.
Amen.
You don't give to God to get. If you do, you're going to blow the whole thing. You give because you love God and you obey God.
Amen.
If you hear me preaching give to get, you're totally wrong. Because it will not work if you give just to get. You can't sit back with a calculator and a pen and say, okay, now I gave $10, I'm watching for $100. I mean, come on. But I do expect God to take care of me. I do expect God to bless me because He promised to.
Amen.
He's not a man that He should lie. Amen. Wow, time is it? We need to get a slower clock. And so this passage here is not about tithes and offerings. It's about materials just to build God's house. He said, put my house first. When Moses was receiving an offering for the tabernacle, he said, from what you have, take an offering to the Lord. Now, there's two big offerings here in the Bible. One was to build the tabernacle. That was a tent, giant tent they carried around in the wilderness. They couldn't build a temple because they couldn't carry it around with them. And that's where they did the sacrifices and everything, but they took that with them, so they had to raise money for that. This is the tabernacle. King David helped raise money for the temple. And you need to get the difference. And so people say, well, it's my money. Don't you look at this, see if it's your money. When Moses was receiving an offering for the tabernacle, he said, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Where did they get their stuff they gave to build the tabernacle? Was it really their stuff, or was it stuff that God gave them? Now look at this. Now this, if you just love the Bible and things in the Bible really interest you, this will interest you greatly. Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. God can use anybody to bless you. The guy that gave me that house does not go to this church. Verse 22, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. He says, go to the people who have enslaved you and ask them for their stuff. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going next door to your neighbor and asking for his stuff? Mr. Goodfriend, who's had goodies. He now owns a lot of these UT gift shops. He's my neighbor right across the street. He lives in a house five times bigger than mine. Can you imagine me going over and say, Mr. Guthrie, I want you to give me your stuff? I have a feeling I get shot. And God said to his people, I want you to go ask the Egyptians to give you their stuff. Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. Now the sons of Israel had done, I just want you to know, and God wants you to know, he's got ways to bless you you never thought of. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians, their slave masters, basically, articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. Verse 36, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Instead of walking around believing that people hate Christians, we need to walk around believing that God is going to cause them to favor us. And of course, if we act like sinners, they're not going to favor us. If we really act like good Samaritans, they will favor us. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. And that's why we have Psalm 105, verse 37. Preachers read this all the time without reading this passage here from Exodus. Here it is, Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And this is why. He gave them favor with the people who had enslaved them, and they gave them their stuff, silver and gold, clothing, stuff. So when Moses said bring a offering, he knew they had it. God blessed them so that they could bless the tabernacle. God blesses you and me so we can bless his work. And if we will not do that, why should he continue to bless us? Give it shall be given unto you. Give it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, and try me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so great you shall not be able to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. There's your healing scripture right there. I mean, the Lord rebuking sickness and disease and failure and poverty off of you. Rebuke the devourer. You see, Exodus is a type of our redemption from Satan's kingdom, from Satan's kingdom, and everybody uses the Exodus as that example. When he brings us out of Satan's slavery, he does not bring us out empty-handed. Amen. He's blessed me my whole life because I've always tried to obey him with my tithes and offerings, but he has blessed me my whole life. Amen. He blessed me with a good job so I could work hard. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? I didn't shake many trees that had money falling out of them. But always, my daddy, he wouldn't give me a dime for school, and God just gave me a good job. If you're afraid of work, God can't bless you. He uses work. Can you say amen? Amen. Putting all these scriptures together is work. He wants to bring us out healthy and blessed so we can do his work. He didn't call you just be fat and sassy and retire at 49. He created you to work and do something for him your whole life. Amen. Now, you can retire from one thing, but you got to do something else if you're going to please God. The tithes could, the Israelites could give to build their tabernacle because the Lord had blessed them. When God blesses us, we do not need to say, this is my money. We need to say, this is his money. He gave it to me. But I'm not going to let some preacher talk me out of it either. Yay. I had an associate pastor for 9 years in Louisville, great church. And this evangelist came through, and he's a hot shot. Watch out for hot shot preachers. You want us older, bald-headed looking guys. But anyway, he was doing all this spiel to raise money and stuff, and one of my friends gave him a really nice watch. And then we found out the guy was just a crook. So JC came to me and he was so bad. JC Ayers. He's in heaven or somewhere now. JC Ayers, he was so mad. He said, that guy ripped me off too. I said, JC, why don't you give it to him? Well, I thought it was a matter of God. I said, you pray over it? I said, you don't give anything to anybody unless God tells you to. We know where the tithes goes. But I'm not giving nothing to anything else unless I know in my spirit God said do it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Do y'all like that? Amen. It's the truth, whether you like it or not. Okay. Let's all